Today on a very special edition of Blossom. I mean, Dark Side of Ghislaine Maxwell, convicted of sex trafficking victims for Jeffrey Epstein. The verdict just came in right before we are going to air with this. I'm excited to dive in to this verdict on the Dark Side of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of.
That indeed it is. And welcome to the program, everyone. We're going to get this episode in before the new year. This is actually airing on Friday, the 31st. Happy New Year's Eve, everybody. Wasn't even planning on, it was going to be a rerun, but because of this verdict coming in, we're going to drop it early. The verdict finally coming in of the Ghislaine Maxwell case of her assistance and involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. If you like this show, you like stuff like this, or not that you like stuff like this, is like, hey, this, but topics of the sort, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. I'm Tony Bruschi, Carol Hughes with us today. I didn't even know this verdict came in until I was on the phone with my girlfriend, and I said, we got there's two big trials right now that still don't have a verdict in it, and I really wanted to talk about those tonight, but they didn't have a verdict yet. She's like, no, Ghislaine just came in. I'm like, oh my God. So I found out literally like a half hour before we started talking. And yeah, so this is here.
So did you think that she was going to be found guilty, or did you think you just wanted her to be found guilty? What was your read after that?
I kind of thought that she was going to find a way to get out and get off of it.
Well, and I guess at the end they said, asked her if she wanted to testify. Mm-hmm. I think the judge asked her to make sure that was her decision. And she said something to the effect of, yes, the prosecution hasn't proven their case. Mm-hmm. I feel confident in the outcome of this. Something like that. And damn.
Yeah. I always kind of had a feeling like it was going to be like the first R. Kelly trial, where it was like, this is so obvious, but somehow, some way, this is going to swing the other way. I was completely wrong.
Guilty. And, because when you listen to it, the other thing about, well, and I'm sure you're going to dive in here, but so I could be getting to something that you're going to bring up in a minute. But the other thing about this trial that really bothered me was, I felt, the victims who were very brave to testify were victimized again when they were on the stand. Because, they would say things like, well, you've had a drug problem, or your parents weren't as poor as what you said they were, or they just really drug them through the mud.
Yeah.
And it had to have felt very, I don't know if good's the right word. It just had to felt satisfying to them, or I don't know, justice had been served.
Yeah.
I don't know what that always feels like, especially when you're right in the middle of a trial like that. But the fact that they really drug him through the mud and then they prevailed in the end.
And this is kind of one of those things where it gets mind boggling because you try and put yourself in someone else's shoes to go, what are they thinking right now? And you try and do it with Ghislaine Maxwell. Number one, it's difficult because you're trying to go, what's the backstory? Like, I couldn't conceive of doing any of these things. Couldn't conceive of doing this or that. So I don't know. But when you're sitting there and you're just trying to grasp, okay, she's sitting here hearing all these testimonies of from people that she's victimized already. And she damn well knows it. But she's saying, nope, that wasn't me. And then they're on the stand again being victimized, and you know damn well you're wrong and you're lying. And you can just sit there and watch it again. I guess that's, I mean, there's something seriously, pathologically wrong with a human being. Number one, that could do it to begin with, but she obviously did it over and over and over and over. So I guess seeing them on the stand again, or seeing them on the stand is just, I guess, icing on the cake for the fucked up mind of Ghislaine Maxwell.
Do you think that someone like her, you know, she got so wrapped up, you know, she was rich, and then that whole thing with her own dad, and there was all kinds of embezzlement, and her brothers got convicted, and the dad did all this stuff. So she was from money, and then I think they lost all that money.
Yeah.
So then she finds somebody like him who's got all the money, and now she's living that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she could have got all wrapped up in that. Do you think that she had convinced herself somewhere along the line that the girls wanted it? We're paying them. They're happy. He's happy. Everybody's good.
I think there's some sort of perverted justification that has to go through one's mind to be able to perform these sort of things in a repeated fashion, as if everything is fine and dandy, because you couldn't keep doing that every time knowing this is horribly wrong. This is horribly wrong. I think at some point you're like, I'm doing what I have to do to get by, or I'm doing what there's some sort of justification that is there. And then it's a matter of, you know, on the other side of this, can she ever take a look back at herself and say, that was fucked up? Like, I clearly did that, but I shouldn't have. I don't know why my mind got so twisted to this direction, you know. Or sometimes I think people like that, they don't have that ability to look back retrospectively and learn from their, you know, mistakes.
Because I think a lot, you know, most people who are, you know, criminals, like murderers, like really serious stuff, I think along the line, they've given themselves permission.
Yeah.
To, and excuses, like, well, we're paying the girls, so they're fine. And you get so wrapped up in it, and you're hanging out with Bill Clinton and Bill Gates and all these uber famous wealthy people. Like, it's not real life. So I think you probably justify it in some way. Like, we didn't victimize those girls. They wanted to have sex with that creepy older man.
Yeah.
You know, at 14 or 15. And when you're 14 or 15 and you get wrapped up in that, now you can't get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a really twisted thing.
And it's crazy as shit. Yes.
It makes me like really bothered that these really wealthy men are even remotely associated with some perv like him.
Uh-huh.
Because then it makes you think this shit happens. You know, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time, and people are okay with it.
Well, it's one of those things where you think, you know, human trafficking and stuff like that. Well, that happens in like dark, shady alleys and shit. Like, this is like with fucking world leaders. Like,
like Prince Andrew.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Well, fuck, Clinton's been on that plane how many fucking times, too? I mean,
I got the feeling Bill Clinton was doing it.
I know.
I don't know.
And that's not a political statement at all, because it's just like, look at the fucking evidence. Like, I don't know how more hasn't come out about, you know, what that looks like.
Exactly, because they've had the one girl who definitely connected Prince Andrew to this, but I haven't heard of anyone who said, yeah, I had sex with Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, either. You know, but it's like,
there's a whole nother level of coercion and blackmail, and I just think people at that level could get you to agree to anything.
Well, exactly. And I'm not saying this has happened. I don't know anything like that.
Exactly.
But I'm
just speculating. Yeah.
But what I would wonder, you know, is like in how many cases with how many of these rich and powerful men that we'd say, you know, why did we never hear a girl say that she had sex with, you know, Bill Clinton or somebody. I'm not saying that it happened with this case, but I would imagine there's probably a little bit behind the scenes shit going on before you get to the point of saying I did that, because you might be being monitored a bit, and there might have been some intimidation, I would imagine, on the part of some of these rich and powerful men to never have you come out and say that. So I'm not saying it happened with him, but who knows? I mean, who the fuck knows?
I don't know.
I would think
that these are really like Bill Gates got some money. And he's tied in with this.
Well, and the fact that these things can remain so secret.
Yeah, because I don't know that Bill Gates did anything inappropriate, but he's been tied to him.
Yeah.
They've got these weird weekend trips they seem to do together. Yeah. Like I think that's kind of weird.
It is, because there's never, I mean, the thing is, if you were in a business situation, I'm sure there's plenty of people who flew on that plane that really had nothing to do with his fucked up world. But the thing is, when you start seeing a pattern of it over and over and over, and you can't explain what the fuck you were doing, or you just don't say anything, that creates a little bit of question. I think if you were Bill Gates or somebody, and like, oh, I can explain this. You know, we were trying to put this deal together for this or that, you know, and that's your alibi, believe it or don't, but at least you got something, where it's just like silence.
Well, it just seemed like they had these weird, like, middle-aged men getaways. Like, who does that? Like, maybe you and your guy friend go middle-aged vacation.
No, we really
and
don't.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, that's cool if you wanted to do that. But I just think a whole bunch of really, really rich middle-aged men who are flying to some guy's island
filled with underage women.
Like, I just don't think it's a stretch of the imagination to think that there is things going on.
Yeah. No, I mean, fuck, the thing is, if you're a reputable, I mean, I don't know. I mean, moral maybe is the word. You get there and you realize, holy shit, you'd be getting the fuck off that island. And if you're one of those rich men, I think you probably have the means to get the fuck off that island.
Yeah. And then let's just circle back to Bill Clinton if we could.
Yeah.
Because it's the same guy who did what he did to Monica Lewinsky. And she was 22.
Mm-hmm.
So is it much of a stretch that he'd go for a 16-year-old? No. I don't think so.
No.
He had no problem having sex with a 22-year-old intern in the White House.
Yeah.
Now they're on a guy's getaway to whatever private island.
Yeah.
But nothing would happen.
It just doesn't. No. I mean, I think, I mean, I want, what I'm wondering.
I was so disappointed in Bill Clinton. I was a fan of his for a long time until
I was too. I know.
Until I really took a deep dive into that whole Monica Lewinsky thing, and I just saw it differently.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, I think the 90s were a wonderful, I grew up in the 90s, and there was a great stretch of peaceful, happy years as a kid compared to what's happened post the 90s. But you know, the personal shit, it's like, oh my God, really? But anyway, let's dive into the story here. This is a New York Post headline from this evening with a verdict coming in. Ghislaine Maxwell convicted of sex trafficking victim for Jeffrey Epstein. Ghislaine Maxwell was convicted Wednesday evening of recruiting and grooming underage girls for years as Jeffrey Epstein's madam, capping a stunning fall from grace for the British socialite who could now spend the rest of her life behind bars. Maxwell, who turned 60 Christmas Day, sat still as a unanimous verdict on 5 of 6 counts was read aloud. When it was done, she poured herself a cup of water from a Fiji bottle and took a swig. But was that water? Then conferred with her lawyer. She showed no emotion as she was hauled off to federal court in Lower Manhattan in front of her siblings, who were seated in the very front row. The jury deliberated for 5 full days, requesting troves of evidence and sworn witness testimony that was presented during the month-long case before finding Maxwell guilty. The sentencing date has not yet been set. The road to justice has been far too long, but today justice has been done. U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Damian Williams, said in a statement, "I want to commend the bravery of the girls, now grown women, who stepped out of the shadows and into the courtroom. Their courage and willingness to face their abuser made this case and today's result possible." Maxwell's lawyers had argued in closing statements that she was an innocent scapegoat in the Epstein saga, Well, prosecutors convinced the 12 jurors she was a sophisticated predator who exploited young, vulnerable girls. The Oxford-educated heiress, youngest child to the late publishing tycoon Robert Maxwell, was convicted on nearly all counts, including sex trafficking of minors. The top charge, it carries a maximum of 40 years in prison. The count relates to the allegations of one of four accusers who testified using her first name, Carolyn, detailing how she gave hundreds of sexualized massages to Epstein as a teenager living in Palm Beach, Florida, sessions that Maxwell helped arrange. So there's a lot of counts here in this, and we'll go through them as follows. Count one, conspiracy to entice a minor to travel to engage in illegal sex acts, which carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison. Count three, conspiracy to transport a minor with the intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, which carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison. Count four, transporting a minor with intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, which carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison. Count five, conspiracy to commit sex trafficking of minors, which carries a statutory maximum of 5 years in prison. She was acquitted on count two, enticing a minor to travel to engage in illegal sex acts, which related to allegations from a woman going by the pseudonym Jane, who testified that she was sexually abused by Epstein at his Palm Beach estate when she was 14 in 1994. Jurors earlier in the week indicated they needed more clarity on the charge, asking Judge Allison Nathan for the definition of enticement. Since the start of Maxwell's trial on November 29th, prosecutors sought to portray her to jurors as inextricably linked to Epstein, including in his pursuit of underage girls to sexually abuse. Maxwell was Jeffrey Epstein's right hand, U.S. Assistant Attorney Allison Moe said in her closing statement. Maxwell and Epstein were partners. They were partners in crime who sexually exploited young girls together, Moe said. Over the course of 3 weeks, prosecutors called dozens of witnesses, including four accusers, who detailed how Maxwell groomed them for abuse by Epstein and how she at times participated in the sexual contact. We'll pause there because there's a lot more to the story. I'm doing my best impression tonight of John Dutton. You just take them cattle right over there. I'll be...
you are kind of John Dutton.
I'm going to be here in the barn. Jamie, you're going to fucking die in the final episode, all right? I'm just going to say it right now. Get off my fucking ranch.
He's always just over it. John Dutton's always just
Get off my fucking ranch. So I got... I don't think I have COVID. but I had allergies pretty bad. So there you go.
Well, if you do have COVID, that sucks.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm
glad that we do this over.
Pretty sure it's just allergies. But
I wanted to say something like, "You'll be fine," and I'm like, "No, that would just suck."
Well, yeah, I love that. It's like, "You'll be fine."
You're tough and young.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would just suck.
I hate the placating when people are like, "It'll be okay." I know it's like some people probably want to hear that. And when it's appropriate, I will say that. But I always just, I like to say things will work out. You know, that's, you know, it doesn't mean things will be okay, but it means things will work out. You know, in time, things will be okay.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. And I hate when someone's like, "It'll be fine." It's like, it's clearly not okay.
Really dismissive. Like you're going through something really difficult in your life. Yeah. And then they're like, "You know, if you just pray or, you know, just give it over to God, it'll be fine." Or like, you know,
like if that's your thing, cool. But if it's not,
it's dark, but there's always, you know, a rainbow. I'm like, I don't fucking want to hear that right now. Like,
sometimes you just need to be like you need to get some understanding. It's like you can live by those things to help keep you going, but you can't always go down that road. Sometimes you just need to let it out. And I hate that.
I heard the best thing once. This woman had cancer and everybody was doing that to her.
Yeah.
And she's like, nobody had like the card of what I really wanted them to say. Like, wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
And so she came up with this line of cards, but one of them was so great. It was, when life hands you lemons, you open it up. It says you got lemons. When life hands you lemons, that's what you have.
You have fucking lemons. You decide now what to do with it.
Since then, I'm like, you know what? You got a bag of lemons. Yeah. And that's where we're at.
Yeah.
You have lemons right now.
You can choose what you want to do with your lemons. You choose your own lemon adventure.
But right now, you just have lemons, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Let's acknowledge the lemons.
First, yes, anyway. Acknowledge the lemons first, and maybe lemonade isn't.
Maxwell's got like a fucking truckload of lemons right now.
And maybe making lemonade is not the best of ideas at the moment in time.
She ain't got water.
Yeah, you need to do something else with those lemons.
She ain't got all the shit she needs to make lemonade.
Yeah.
Like you need sugar and water.
It'll take quite a while to accumulate all those sugar packets in prison to make that lemonade.
That's just bad. But you know what? It's like just too many people got up and spoke. And
yeah,
like, and then her defense is basically, I didn't do that. I mean, I don't know what else her defense was.
It's really pretty much what it was. Like, nope. Like, okay, cool.
What are you talking about? Those teenage girls willingly had sex with him. I guess that's her. I don't know. Just weird.
I think it's like one of those things. She got so immersed in that life and just that being normal that eventually you just think it is and it'll never end, and everything's so powerful, and you know, you realize deep down it's wrong, but it's not necessarily your core emotion while you're doing whatever you're doing.
And I think that she was having sex, or I think there was some gratification in there for her as well.
I do too. Yeah. I think she was, yeah.
And because some of them talked about, you know, she was in on it.
Yeah. Participant.
You know, I don't know that it was a three-way necessarily, I think she was right there. And, you know, I think they'd given themselves permission. They deserved it. They wanted it. Everything's fine. They got money. They're paying for it. What?
Yeah. It's like running the fucking Holiday Inn for pedophiles. I mean, it's like, my God. The first accuser to take the stand, Jane, told the jury she met Maxwell and Epstein when the pair were approached at the Michigan arts camp in the early 1990s when she was 14 years old. From there, the teen was groomed for abuse by Epstein's Palm Beach mansion by Maxwell, who exposed her to nudity and sexualized conversations in an attempt to normalize the behavior, prosecutors alleged. She would ask me what I was up to, if I had a boyfriend, Jane testified, adding that Maxwell claimed to her about dating, once you fuck them, you can always fuck them again because they're grandfathered in. At Epstein's mansion, Maxwell and the twisted millionaire money man abused the teen together in group sex sessions with other women, Jane testified. In 1994, Jane said the financier and Maxwell led her upstairs to the bedroom, moved her over to the bed, and took their clothes off. They started to sort of fondle each other, she said, adding they were like casually giggling as she stood there. He asked me to take my top off, she said of Epstein, who killed himself behind bars while awaiting trial in Manhattan in 2019. Then there were hands everywhere, and Jeffrey proceeded to masturbate again, and Ghislaine was like rubbing on him, kissing on him. Maxwell and Epstein repeated this playbook to lure in other underage girls for him to abuse, including the three other victims who testified at trial, prosecutors said. In most cases, the pair preyed on vulnerable girls from single-parent homes, prosecutors said. Selecting these girls was a predatory behavior. Maxwell and Epstein picked vulnerable girls, Mo said in their closing statement. Another accuser, Carolyn, who testified using her first name, Carolyn, said that she was introduced to Maxwell and Epstein at age 14 through Virginia Roberts Guffrey, a teen she knew from her West Palm Beach neighborhood. Carolyn had been sexually abused by her grandfather, starting when she was 4 years old and raised by her mother, an alcoholic. Over the number of years, Carolyn messaged Epstein more than 100 times at his Palm Beach estate, and something sexual happened every single time, she told jurors. Maxwell would call her boyfriend at the time to schedule the messages, Carolyn added. at least one, Maxwell groped the teen as she was getting undressed and preparing to give Epstein a massage in the Florida home. She came in and felt my boobs and my hips and my buttocks, Carolyn said, her voice breaking as she recalled the touching. Maxwell told her that she had a great body for Mr. Epstein and his friends. She just said that I had a good body type, she added. At the same time Maxwell and Epstein were luring these girls away from their families to sexually abuse them, the older pair were socializing with the rich and elite. Witnesses recalled seeing photographs of Epstein's Florida mansion that showed the financier with leaders ranging from Fidel Castro to Pope John Paul II. Epstein had also entertained former President Bill Clinton and Maxwell's pal, Britain's Prince Andrew. Another accuser who testified under the pseudonym Kate said Maxwell touted her relationships to the rich and powerful as she lured her into Epstein's orbit. The disgraced socialite seemed to know everybody, Kate told the jury. She was friends with Prince Andrew, friends with Donald Trump. Sometimes her names would just come up, or she'd be talking on the phone about them with me present, she said. It was precisely because of these connections why Epstein, Maxwell, and Maxwell felt they could get away with their crimes for so long, prosecutors said. That all changed when Maxwell's arrest and her trial, as four of her accusers, now grown women, pointed her out to the jury and the women who facilitated their sexual abuse. The defendants never thought that these teenage girls would have the strength to report what happened. In her eyes, they were just trash beneath her. Assistant U.S. Attorney Bernice Comey told jurors in her rebuttal statement at the close of the trial. Who would believe Jane or Kate or Carolyn or Annie or Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein, who rub shoulders with presidents and celebrities and business leaders, Comey said. But the defendant, who didn't count on those teenage girls growing up into women who testified at the trial, women who would be willing to take that stand and tell the truth about what happened, Comey said. There you go.
Guilty. Boy, that's a truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I do think that, you know, when you have that kind of money, and not everyone's like this. I think there are some very compassionate rich people.
Sure.
But I think a lot of times, you know, someone like that, you know, we've got money. Those are really poor, pathetic girls. And we're doing them a favor.
That's the reasoning.
Money.
Yeah.
So we're helping them. You know, we're giving them, they would never have the money. So look at what we're doing for them. And in a way, the money probably did help the girls.
Yeah.
But at what cost? You know? And so exactly. I think people like that, they don't even think.
No, and they're and the girls
doing any harm to anybody.
Of course, and the girls sometimes too, especially if they're 14, they don't realize the harm that they're getting themselves into.
Not
and then
at all.
Then when they finally do, it's way too late. And look where you're stuck. And all, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's how these sort of things happen. They're being preyed upon and their naivety is being preyed upon by creepy fuckers like this. And then it's grooming. And then they probably do, you know, in some cases when you're the captured, you start to believe, you know, your captors, you know, yeah, he's a good guy. And he's really helping me out. Because where else would you be at that moment? You'd be looking where you came from or what you were dealing with in the past. And somehow this horrible situation that you're in is still better than that.
And you look at a lot of pedophiles, you know, they all kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
They intimidate them. They hold something over them. You know, people abuse children. Josh Duggar. Every day.
Yeah.
It happens and it's so horrific. I can't even wrap my brain around it. And these people, like, I don't know if they just give themselves permission to abuse their own children or like, I don't get it. And, you know, this is just another case of that. It's like, how could you do that?
We're talking,
it's okay.
I think you're right. I mean, some of the things you're talking about, I mean, it's to a delusional mind would be the justification. And if you have a delusional mind and you can't quite grasp what is fact and what is not, and you know what you're guilty of, what's right and what's wrong, you'll grasp onto some of that shit. And that's, I think that's exactly how it works. I don't know how you, what part's missing that you don't process the right and wrong part of these things, but yeah. I guess I can understand then, like, that's your MO, okay, but how do you not realize what the fuck you're doing?
I don't know. I don't get how you could ever harm a child. And maybe they're like, oh, they're teenagers. This isn't going to mess them up. Teenagers have sex. I don't know. But like the fact that you don't even care.
Is that, I mean, and I guess what it's going to come down to in someday, if they can ever, you know, figure this out with people that do shit like this, is that a learned behavior? Is that nature or nurture? Is that something in your DNA?
There might be some learned behavior to it. I don't know. Yeah. I've heard of, you know, people, you know, they always talk about the cycle of abuse. Yeah. That you have to break the cycle of abuse. So if your parents were violent and horrific, then you might be like that.
Yeah.
Because that's how you know. But I just think there's something missing in these people. Like,
I think too, and this would be just my guess. I think too, with people like this, if you were to look at other places in their life too, things that are nowhere near as horrific as this, but just basic, how do they operate in their life? You know, what is their week like when they're not doing this shit? I think you'd find a lot of other very strange inconsistencies that just don't make a whole lot of sense.
Like a whole lot of secrets.
Yeah, where you'd be like, what? Why? And I think that's where it's such a deep ingrained behavior. That's why I wonder if it's just something where it's like, you know, in some people, some people are colorblind. I'm not comparing pedophiles to people who are colorblind, but I'm comparing an ability that either you have or you don't have. And it's, you can't ever be like, oh, now I guess there's glasses now that can do this, but I don't think there's ever be pedophile or anti-pedophile glasses. But it's one of those things where it's just part of you or it's not. And I don't know, are some people just, it's part of them that they can have no conscience to do things like this? It starts small and then it gets to...
Watch any show on Discover ID.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, every episode is filled with people who did something horrific.
Yeah.
But child sexual abuse is like about the worst thing.
Murder.
And I hate even thinking about it. But, you know, so I think, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, super rich. That's what he wants. That's what he gets. He's rich. He can have what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people like that, it's a sexual thing. That's what he's turned on by. He's got the money to do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I don't care. I paid him. And I mean, that's just, I think people give themselves permission.
I think there's a lot more Jeffrey Epsteins out here in our world right now. And I don't know who they are, but I think that this is something that now that we see, because I think there's going to be this, a lot of this relief going, oh, thank goodness he's gone and this abuse has stopped. And in this case, yes, thank goodness. But how many other fuckers like this are out there that are part of these circles and everything, that this stuff exists still, that are still operating? And now they really got to be more under the radar. But I mean, Jeffrey Epstein couldn't have been like the only pimp for the rich and famous.
And I like to think there's some people who are really, really nervous about this.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering too with Ghislaine next. It's like, okay, so what the fuck does she do? I mean, this is her chance to write the tell-all. What the fuck does she have to lose at this point?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, this is where names could be dropped. And that's where I'm like, well, if she or will she be dropped first? So I think Ghislaine Maxwell Death Watch, I think, has officially been turned back on. I'm honestly surprised she made it this far. But I think now it's like, shit, that I think would be the next move. Write the book. You'll get a publisher. Someone will fucking publish that thing. And, you know, maybe, you know, the money can go to victims or something.
Yeah, because I don't think she can make any money off
it. No, but then money can go to the victims and she can drop a whole bunch of names. But I don't think that would happen. There's too many fucking people involved here that are so powerful the same reason Jeffrey Epstein's dead is the same reason I think Ghislaine Maxwell is going to be dead before that book ever comes out.
I've always been a little like, did he really do it? You know, there's been that weird.
I'm not a big conspiracy theory person, but there's just too many fucking people connected with this that can't have their. I mean, it would shatter so many things. You thought like fucking Bill Cosby and that whole thing was like big news. You're going to have like fucking world leaders and people who've done amazing things that we all thought were wonderful and great. And be like, oh, holy shit. You know? It's one of those things where is it better for the world to know about the horribleness of the people, you know, or is it, I don't know. Is this just too much of a disruption or eruption and piece of insanity?
Oh, hell,
in
we're
lives.
Living in the middle of a pandemic.
Know.
Bring it on.
Like, I know. At this point, why not?
Get what's coming.
I agree. It's just like one. I guess I'm coming from the perspective of it's like one more thing. It's like, what other giant fucking bomb can. And I mean that metaphorically. I don't want fucking bombs. but you don't know what's going to happen anymore. But, you know, a metaphorical bomb of information can be dropped, you know, in this absolutely insane time that just makes us, you know, reconfigure thinking or the mass population reconfigure thinking on some people, you know, that they may, you know, have not, you know, thought more highly of in the past. I don't know.
I don't know. The whole, like, I don't know.
I'll be in line
know.
To buy
just
the book.
I think it's really interesting that, you know, there, I think the defense did call some witnesses that, but, you know, it's just like, I didn't do it.
Over the last,
what they're talking about.
Over the last many a months, that should have been her fucking parachute. Like, I hope she already wrote it. I hope she wrote the book already. And it's like there to drop like immediately.
Yeah.
Just.
But it seems like, I don't know, like those aren't the people you want to blackmail either.
No.
Because then they're, go ahead, threaten us. And then look what happens to her. But then I think she was legit found guilty. Like
she was. I guess that would be like, you know, it's kind of one of those. This is, you know, I'm going to go and do a John Dutton scene from Yellowstone where he shot the guy who was kidnapped his grandson. And they're in the field. And it's like, you know, you got, you know, your whole legacy. The rest of your life is going to be remembered by this one thing, you know, or my grandson's face. It's kind of up to her right now. She can be remembered completely for being Epstein's, you know, mistress, sex, you know, whatever the fuck you want to call what she was doing. Or she can go out being the one that was the biggest whistleblower in history on some of these men and really undeniably blow the whistle on some people. And she'll be known for the other stuff, but she'll end up being known for that. Much more.
Well, and she got married. Like, she's pretty much a newlywed.
And that's, like, at this point, she has to know her life is over. So what do you want your legacy to be, Ghislaine? It's one or the other, and that's it. Or you're going to get killed in jail, and your legacy will simply be that. Or you can blow the whistle, and that'll be what you're known for. I mean, at least it's a little bit of, you know, I don't know what the word would be, atonement for the horrible, horrible shit by finally fucking blowing that whistle. I mean, it's way too little too late, but otherwise we'll never know.
I also think there's people like her who have convinced themselves that she didn't do it.
Yeah.
They were willing. She did nothing wrong. And she could be like that.
It require her to be
like,
aware.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the problem.
Yeah. She might not have any guilt over any of it because she gave herself permission. She didn't do it. Nothing she did was wrong.
You're probably right. That's probably where it sits. But that's where a publisher needs to get in her ear and say, here's what you need to do. And I could see her doing it strictly from the standpoint of, you know, trying to do something to better her image with others, because that's what narcissists do. If she realizes that's her only move now, I think she'll take it. If that's her only move, which it very well kind of is, what's your one move to be seen in a good light by people? Because you will never be
but
seen.
I don't think she cares. Like, I think being seen in a good light, what? I didn't do anything. Like, there's nothing to apologize for. I have been railroaded.
Yeah.
And I was not guilty. And this is an injustice. There's all kinds of people sitting in prison and murdered people.
Yeah.
And will never fess up.
I guess my thing, like, narcissists do change their opinion based on what's going to be the popular thing for them, though. That's the only way I see this flipping is if she does deep down know how fucked up all this is, but she realizes the better thing for me, it may not be because she's going to be liked more or does she, I don't, but there just may be more attention this way. Cause otherwise she will just fade into nothing. But if she becomes this whistleblower, attention, 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 and it stays on her. Cause I think there's an element of that with her that she likes too.
I don't know. She kind of faded away living in the middle of nowhere with this new husband.
Well, I think she was hoping everything would just kind of disappear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But now that it's back, what is she like? You know, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. And it's hard for you and I to really get in their heads because we don't think like that.
I know the brain of Ghislaine. That's a creepy one. The brain of Ghislaine.
Ooh. Somebody needs to write that movie.
The brain of Ghislaine. Also available in a chocolatey new children's cereal. Ghislaine brains. Are these Ghislaine brains, Dad?
Treats.
We got Ghislaine brains. What's the toy, Dad? What the hell is this? Handcuffs? Ghislaine brains. New from Post.
Oh, that made me laugh.
There you go. All right, that's going to wrap up the Ghislaine Maxwell episode of Dark Side Of, and hopefully it'll be a little while before we hear more from her. If you like the show, please do press subscribe whatever platform it is you listen to us on. And if you really like it, get the commercial-free episodes, get advanced episodes of the show. Go to our Patreon page. Go to Patreon, search Dark Side Of, or go to darksidepod.com. $5 a month gets you access to our whole archive. All of the extras, all the advanced episodes and all of it, no ads. So you can just binge away right there on the Patreon app. Check it out. Do appreciate that. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Of.